Hello, everybody. We are here today, the 19th of June, 2022, on a very special day for Kilcrinan National School, Primary School, on its 50th anniversary. We are here in one of the classrooms, and I have some lovely guests to speak to get memories, to get an idea of what's gone on in the last 50 years and where we are today in this massive, beautiful school. And of course, I'll have to start with the person that's been here now. I'll ask her how many years shortly. I know she's going to tell me the truth and when she came and all that. But she's been probably one of the... There's been a good few principals. Well, not a good few, but a few, I suppose. But Margaret definitely has been... There's been two principals before Margaret, but definitely Margaret, to me, has been the main woman driving the school and is still doing it. So, Margaret, it gives me great pleasure to talk to you today on this very special occasion for you. You must be a very proud lady today when you see 50 years later what this area and this parish has achieved in our school.
Very much so, Thomas. It really is fantastic, you know, to see the way the school has grown and developed over the past 50 years, and a great pleasure to walk around and meet so many past pupils that have come back today to be with us, and even to see, you know, two, three generations of families that have attended Kilcrinan School. So it's a great, great honour and a great pleasure for me, and I'm delighted.
That's great, Margaret. And I was asking earlier on, as you know, we did us here, and we were probably the first two in this interview that came to the school on the very first day it opened. And I wasn't too sure, and I asked Jolan Margaret. It actually opened in June of 1972, before the school year of September. Was there a reason for that, Margaret, or was it just maybe to get pupils a taste of the school before they came back in September?
Well, I'm not 100% certain, Dennis, but I do remember meeting Miss Begley, who would have taught in the old school in Kilmacdonough at the 40th anniversary of Kilcrinan. And what she said to me that day was that, you know, they were getting ready. They really had no date in mind for when the school was opening. But it was like that on a Friday afternoon, they were told the new school is opening on Monday. So they literally kind of went with the clothes on their backs into the new school. And for that reason, a lot of maybe even roll books and things, some of them weren't actually brought directly to the new school at the beginning, because it just happened very quickly.
Yeah, because I can remember coming now, and actually the day, as far as I can remember, and I'm fairly certain of this, we had to travel in a bus, which was totally alien to us. It was huge to get into a bus from Knockadoon Head and come all the way to the far distance of Kilcrinan. We didn't even know where Kilcrinan was. We just knew it was somewhere out in the countryside, and we were heading to it. But the same day, it was raining, Margaret. Would you believe that? Because the windows in the bus were all fogged up. And we were kind of disappointed with that. But when we came first in, we had to wear slippers for a number of weeks, if not a number of months, because obviously maybe it was a wet day and all that, I don't know, but we had to wear slippers for quite a while. But the changes, Margaret, that have gone on since 1972, I can see there's still, you could only say there's half of the old school, really, isn't there?
That's correct,
And the room we're in now is part of the new school. When did that idea start, Margaret, to expand the school and have what was that back in the 2000s?
It was 1999. I suppose the numbers were growing, and the original school would have had six classrooms and what was known as the spare room, and that was a spare room up until about 1982. So then in 1982 it became a 7-teacher school, and with the building then that happened in Ladysbridge in the 90s, the numbers really escalated. So we would have had a number of prefabs out the front. Now, that would have been while I was teaching, not when I was principal. It would have been Mrs. Lynch, who was my predecessor, Anne Lynch. She would have been the person, and the boards of management at that time in the 90s would have been the ones that would have said, you know, that we would apply for an extension. But it was a very long drawn out process, because it started in 1999 and we actually didn't get the extension until 2014, and it was no fault of anybody in the intervening years. Originally the extension was only meant to be a 2-classroom extension, And then by the time that was, the plans had been drawn up for that, it looked like, well, we'd certainly need a third classroom. And of course, that threw us back down the list again because new plans had to be drawn up. Then they said they were actually going to give us six classrooms. And I remember at the time thinking, this is bonkers. Like, we're never going to fill six extra classrooms. And whoever the engineer at the time was said, look, if they're offering you six classrooms, take it. And so we did get the six classrooms and the hall and all the other rooms as well. And the funny thing is that now this year we've actually backed the prefabs, and because we've opened the ASD unit, we actually have one new prefab back on site, which we never thought would happen.
It just goes to show, Mark, the success of the school, that, you know, you thought back then that we'd have too much room, and now you need prefabs again, because I suppose the area has blown up between Belmacorda new houses and Ladysbridge new houses, and the amount of new families coming to the parish has also required the size of a school that we have now. But once again, Margaret, it must be a real proud day for you today. Would I be unfair in asking how many years you've actually been teaching in Kilcrin?
I started in September 1980, which is no secret, so I'll be here 42 years for September.
Well, Margaret, when the history of Kilcrin National School is written, in the next 50 years, Margaret Buzang's name will surely be on top of that list, because that's some service to give any school, to give you to your country as a teacher, and I'm sure everyone in Balmacorda Ladysbridge are so, so delighted and happy that you're still going so strong, and thanks for all your years of service, Margaret. I'll be back to you again shortly, Margaret. Frank, I'm moving on to you. This is Frank Kingston, and Frank, we've come to you because I hope you won't mind me saying you're the oldest person in the room to speak to, because you were one of the men back in the late 60s, early 70s that would have known the whole story of why we needed a new school in Balmacorda Ladysbridge.
Thanks, Thomas, for having me. Well, I suppose big bodies move slowly, as we know. It was spoken about for 10 years, if not longer, of a proposed new school. Funding is the old problem and is still a problem today, of course. The Department of Agriculture, or the Department of Education, decided at that time that yes, a new school was wanted to replace the three schools we already had in the parish. The big question was then the location. Naturally enough, the people in Ladysbridge didn't want to lose a school in Ladysbridge. The people in the Knockadoon side didn't want to lose the school, but they would compromise to have the school in Ballymacorda village. And at that stage, Ballymacorda village seemed to be the desired spot. But the site became available here where we are today, just 500 yards away from the original school where I attended. And that's the rest of history, as they say.
Yeah, but I suppose at the time, Frank, with any project trying to get up and running, especially when you have a parish that's kind of very, you know, it's a kind of a long, long parish, and we say from Knockadoon, people in Knockadoon might know people in Ladysbridge, and to bring all those communities together to obviously decide that, look, Kilcrinan is central, it's the best place to go. I suppose it took an awful lot of work and a lot of persuading, and I suppose there were still people unhappy, but at the end of the day, I suppose common sense prevailed.
It did, yeah. As I said earlier, people hate to lose anything within their own region, and this was the case when the new school was proposed. Everybody wanted a new school, but they wanted it in their own area. But common sense did prevail, and everybody agreed in the finish. The late Father Gallagher, God be good to him, was a great instigator, a great man for the parish outside of his own ministry. He was unbelievable at a meeting. I remember going with my father to a few meetings that he was there, and he had a way of bringing the people around. Now, going back 50 years ago, or near to 60 years ago, we'll say the priests were listened to, not like today. And I don't mean that now in any bad way. And now, I suppose, the people of the parish, they wouldn't have been as forthcoming with ideas as the people are today. Technology have moved on. That was even prior to we joining the common market. And you can imagine the mentality of people, of country peasants in that era. It was totally, totally different than what we have today.
It was a huge thing, like, to for your children that were used to walking to school, probably, and their brothers and sisters before them. And all of a sudden, I mean, I was only 8 years of age when I came here, but... Yeah, obviously at 8 years of age, you don't know nothing. One day you're walking across the fields to Ballyfermot Road, and the next day you're on a bus going to this strange school. But it was a bit of an adventure for us, so we weren't kind of scared that way. But I suppose our parents would have been wondering, is this a good, bad or indifferent idea? But I suppose, like, you know, in a country area like that, and I suppose it wasn't just Lough and Ballymacore, Ladysbridge, other parishes in the country probably had the same things going on. All, like, the schools were too small, basically, and we needed a bigger school.
Right, right. Well, I suppose it was unique here. In other areas, they may replace a school with two smaller schools, but we are in the situation here where there were three schools in the parish, which the more schools... the more vices you had, and to get everybody to agree was a major. And it was a great achievement. Yeah. And, you know, we had we had great committees at that time, as, you know, as committees were.
Yeah, great names.
Great names. And people... Yeah. With forward thinking,
yeah,
which
yeah.
was very, very important.
I know. Mick Holland, Ladysbridge always says that it was the making basically of Father O'Neill's GA in such a way, because it brought players from Ladysbridge to the same school. It brought players from Ballymacore and Achadoon to the same school, and, you know, they would never have met each other before, and all of a sudden they were playing on the same Skeena Skull teams, and yeah. then they were coming. They were farming, and it proves it, Sir Margaret, for a number of years, the basis for the senior team we have at the moment in the GA, basically all of them players were outstanding Skeena Skull players in their time here, weren't they?
Oh, they were indeed. We had great years of Skeena Skull, you know, from once it started, 1994. Well, I suppose before that, Tom Barry, like, would have been in charge of the teams. That was kind of Father O'Neill's really juvenile teams. That was kind of the start of the juveniles in the parish. The Skeena Skull Camogie would have started in the 1980s, 1985, 86, and then the hurling and football. 93, 94 would have been the first years, but certainly all the people that around.
And I suppose to be remiss of us if we didn't give one man who had great success, and that's Tom Wall.
Yes, indeed.
He has fantastic success down through those years, hasn't he?
He has indeed. He was a great help to me when I started off. Well, Father Kelleher, I suppose, is the person really that was responsible for introducing Skeena Skull initially. It was he kind of said it would be a good thing for the school, and then he looked for people that would be willing to help out. And in fairness to Tom Wall, he was great to come along to the matches. And
Tom Wall was something to reckon to.
That's great.
And having had sons and daughters, he was a tough man, but he got great success.
He was very good, and he was very helpful. And I suppose, like that, it was great. You needed a bit of help, and in fairness, he gave that.
Okay, Frank, I'll get back to you before we wrap up. I'm now moving along to... I call you Mary Kingston because, forgive me, I don't know your married name, so I'm going to call you Mary Kingston.
And Mary Kingston.
We're coming to you, I suppose, as a past pupil, and the years that you were the Kilcrin. Your memories, Mary, and your I suppose, mostly all your good days. There was no bad days for you, Mary, I believe. I heard you had a gold star up in the wall every week. The years you were here, Mary, First of all, what was the first year you came here?
So, Thomas, I started in 1979, and then in 1980, I have the privilege of being the first class that Margaret taught. And, you know, really, Margaret has been so influential in not just my life, but in all the children from 1980 onwards. And it's just unbelievable today now here to be back at the school and seeing the memories and seeing the people and, you know, looking at the pictures and how things have evolved from when we had no uniform going to school and then the transition. And again, as my father Frank mentioned about people and change and the whole change management process, and, you know, people were coming at things with different viewpoints when the uniform was being introduced. And of course there was the cost element of it as well. And then if you were like the fourth or fifth in a child of three or four that had gone through the school previously, you know, you'd be saying, well, what was the value of getting a uniform? But again, I suppose it's just a testimony to Margaret and to Mrs. Lynch previous, like there was never any pressure like that on families, you know, to straight away switch over to uniforms.
It was a great idea, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a great idea, but again, it was a transition. And I suppose now, like children now, you know, would think, oh my gosh, you know, they were able to wear their normal clothes, but how things have changed. And even back then, it was like a fantastic school. I have really great memories. You know, when I moved into secondary school, then I went to Loretto and Yall, and, you know, the opportunities I even got in secondary school, from like public speaking, quizzes, debating, all that, I'd actually got a foundation for all that here in Kilcreddon, which, you know, really helped me progress along the way. Quiz teams that you'd come up against then, or debating teams, and we went to secondary school, you know, against Yall or against Middleton and the Carmelite, and that they were all people that had actually been here as well, in Kilcreddon. So it just goes to show that
it's actually a testament to the teachers that have been here down through the years, because, you know, most of the secondary schools in East Cork, Middleton, Yall would always say that the pupils that came from Kilcreddon were always very well taught, very well mannered, and, you know, it was always very positive for feedback. Have any funny stories, Mary, or any incidents, or Margaret? Was she a top pupil when you had her first? Or?
Excellent, always excellent.
Yeah, and no funny stories, Mary, or.
We have a story, but again, it really just goes to show the type of person that Margaret was, and I don't know if you've even heard this before. So when I started, I was in the bus, and I had a flask. Those days you brought a flask for your lunch, and sure, when I put it into my school bag, something must have happened anyway, and my flask broke. So I came into school, I was all upset, of course, Margaret, being Margaret, well, said, you know, what's wrong? And I said, oh my God, I'm after breaking the flask, I'll be killed at home now. My gosh, this is crazy, this is it now. I was warned to mind the flask. And didn't Margaret put a note in for my mother, Kathleen, to read that Mary was upset in school over the flask. And, you know, look, not to worry, it wasn't her fault. It was something that happened in the bus. And we often talk about that story at home. Yeah.
Okay, so, thanks, Mary. They're great stories. Now I'm moving along to a lady that probably... We're moving into the 90s now, I think, when she came to the school, and school is really starting to boom, then I'd say, and I'm speaking to Marion Leahy. Yeah. Marion, like that again with Mary, your first years, you said you were 90...
I was 91.
91.
When I started,
and was it a big occasion? Obviously, it was a big occasion, starting through school and all that.
Yeah.
What's your memories, Marion?
Yeah, but I suppose I was a very, like, head in the clouds type of child. And I suppose my first memory was my mother bringing me to school, and, you know, I met Miss Bazang, like, for the first time. My very first day was playing with the Play-Doh and the Lego, and I mixed it up, the two together, so you couldn't separate the Play-Doh and the Lego, and I remember getting in trouble for that. And that was kind of the start of the rest of my years in the school, because I got in trouble so often after that.
Yeah.
The bowl corner in the baby infants was like my corner to be in. Yeah, and I remember it very well when I come back and look at it there.
The corners.
The corner. The ledge has never changed.
Yeah. The views.
The views, yeah. But like...
Memories of teachers that you had down through that are not here anymore? Have you any one that sticks out?
Well, I suppose Miss Higgins was one. She was my senior infants. Mrs. Lynch, I'll never forget. I remember, you know, every time you spoke, you had to stand up. And, you know, and I think I got that confused with standing up and sitting down. I, you know, got in trouble for standing up too often. And you had to stand behind the chair when you were reciting something. Yeah, and Tom Barry as well. I mean, before him, I think I just wasn't great at listening. But if, like, Tom Barry just, you know, was strict and, you know, he really taught me and us how to learn, I think. Yeah, I think, you know, he set the precedence for us going to secondary school then after that.
I suppose, just sorry, Marion, I suppose go back to Margaret. Margaret, I suppose, has teaching changed? The ways of teaching and the techniques of teaching, have they changed, do you think, in 50 years? I presume they have.
Well, sure, I suppose there's a lot more modern technology available now than was there, you know, going back, say, 40 years ago. In that, I remember when I started, you know, you had a spirit duplicator. If you, there was no such thing as a photocopier, there were no computers. You had the blackboard and the chalk.
So encyclopedias, probably.
It's encyclopedias, yeah. So, like, from a point of view of learning, it must have been very boring, really, from a child's point of view, whereas now you have interactive whiteboards. Like, there's so much more material that's available, and, like, even to look around the classroom here, it's so bright and colourful. I mean, you had to make all the charts yourself in those days, so it's definitely, there's far more facilities. But I suppose the big change that I would see is that there's far more help available for a child that maybe finds learning a little bit more difficult, like there was no resource, no learning support, so that's all there now. And I would think as well maybe that we've a better understanding of behaviour, and you know that just because somebody moves out of their seat, that's not, you know, that's not seen as, you know, you have to sit up straight, that there's a better understanding of the different learning styles of children, and try to cater for the different styles.
Yeah. Okay, Margaret, thanks for that. Just go back to you again, Marion. Did you were close enough to the school. You didn't walk to school, or something, did you? Just cycle or?
No, we were actually very lucky that the bus passed our door.
Bus passed,
So I think it only took us like 3 minutes to get to school. Yeah. But our bus driver was Davy. And I remember my very first... Davy was famous. And I suppose I was lucky my two sisters were ahead of me as well. And I remember my very first day going to school, or one of the first days, having to get on the bus. And it was so short that I couldn't get to the first step of the bus, that Davy had to come out and pick me up into the bus. And I remember standing in front with him, like helping him drive the bus for years after that then.
And like, I suppose nowadays, he's not allowed to do that anymore now. HSE, you can't lift a child or touch a child now.
Oh,
you can definitely bring him up and show him how to drive a bus. So a lot of things have changed to the good, but there's a lot of things have changed maybe too good, really, you know?
Absolutely.
Mary, to go back to you again, did you I presume you got, did you get the bus or just cycle or walk again?
No, we used to get the bus for a while, and it was amazing because I was so near the school, but the bus used to pass the top of the road, so we used to actually go all around by Shanachill, Hafine and back around, so I'm actually only about 5 minutes from the school, but the trip used to take about 20-25 minutes. But then there was times when, you know, it would be an adventure. We'd walk home when my brothers were coming along. They were more brave than me. I was the eldest. And I remember, you know, walking home and then Mam expecting to have us off the bus and no sign of us coming off the bus. And we'd arrive in the door after walking it. But again, Stevie Bryan was our bus driver, and Stevie was a legend.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was fantastic, the things he used to do. In terms of helping us get on and off the bus, and you know, if you forgot something, he'd nearly drive back around again. Yeah. You know, with again, you know, things were different.
Yeah.
But I know myself. I was here last week for an open day for the baby infants starting, or the junior infants, And the community spirit that I noticed, like, that's here now, is the exact same yes. that was here like 42 years ago when I started. And, you know, that day, all the other pupils, they knew there was something new happening. There was some, the new children were starting and they were all involved and engaged. And, you know, that sense of excitement and, you know, like, I know break went on a bit longer than normal and all that, but like, that's just the type of school it is, you know. It's, and that was the situation all those years ago, and it was great to see that that was there, and that community spirit, like, it's not just a school, it's a community here.
Okay, thanks Mary. And so I'm moving along now to our next guest today, and I suppose the next guest is probably the man that's living closest to the school and would have had, he definitely walked to school. If you got the bus, no, I'd be very, very surprised.
I'll correct you there. I'm laughing at Marion just saying she was 3 minutes in the bus. I did come on the bus. Now, how I got on the bus, I have no idea. Was I tumbling? But I did come down on the bus.
Okay.
Yes, I have a memory of these knock-a-doon geezers in the back of the bus.
Missing.
Including yourself. So, yeah. I know, it was probably about a minute and a half on the bus.
Before we get to the memories, and the juicy bits, first of all, this is Dennis McCarthy, folks. Dennis, I suppose I'll ask you to speak probably on behalf of the community council, first of all, as one of the leading members of the community council, just to give us an idea of what the community council, I suppose, are thinking today and what would their thoughts be on the whole fantastic occasion that's the 50-year anniversary today.
Yeah, my thoughts, and firstly, we're here in the room, congratulate Margaret as principal all these years. It's a fantastic facility in the community. And like Frank spoke about it a while ago, like, and you spoke about bringing Ballymacore and Ladies Bridge together. And I suppose from a community point of view, it's fantastic. And even going forward in the next few years, as we know, there's more plans here for community that's moving into this area. You know, there need be no fear, like, that education in this community is rock solid and has been probably laid in the past 20, 30 years here by Margaret. It's a fantastic facility and it stands out. And I think in rural Ireland to have a school like this, it's just, it's amazing just to look down at it, because my memories of, I went to the old school up here, two seconds really from here, and I have a vague memory of being up there in junior infants and looking down and seeing this building coming out, literally coming out of the sky as the year went on, and knowing that the following year we were going to be coming down here. And, you know, that's 50 years ago this year. You know, the amount of people that have gone through here, like friends you would have made in school, to this day you would still be, I suppose I'm indifferent in the case, the job I'm in, still meeting a lot of people I went to school with to this day. And, you know, it's just an amazing, amazing facility here.
I suppose our memories, Dennis, and I'll come in with you on this one now. It was June. I wasn't too sure it was June or September, but I think it was definitely rain the first day, because like I said, around the windows of the bus were fogged up. But for me, so we were living in Knockadoon. We used to walk the Ballyfer Road. So we'd walk over the road, we'd cross maybe two fields, get back onto the road again, and that was Ballyfer Road. And I suppose I gave maybe a year and a half, maybe 2 years in Ballyfer Road before we came here. But my memory of the first time coming in here was standing at the far-off corner here, Margaret, where the, I don't know what room it is now, or what room you call it now, but it's the far-off corner here. And the first thing is, we had to have slippers. We had slippers with us to wear the slippers, because we weren't allowed to wear shoes. The second thing, Dennis, was, and you probably got the same, was the smell, the new the school.
Everything was so new from the old school. And a memory I have of coming in here was, and the old school, even though it would have been only in junior infants, I actually don't know how many classes was crammed in up above in the old school here, but certainly more than one class. But to come down here then and you had a classroom of your own, I always find that amazing. You actually had your own classroom.
We were used to the old type desks.
Yes.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden we came to these small tables.
Yeah.
With small chairs, your own individual chair.
Sorry,
and my memory of the chairs, Margaret, and I don't know how long they're gone now, but at the back of the chairs, there used to be all these little different coloured little we call them washers for keeping the chair on. And in baby infants, you had a certain colour. You went to the next class the next year, so a different colour. And that's, I know they're small things, but they were memories that stick in your head. And definitely the tables. And when I mentioned the smell now, folks, I mentioned it was a good smell. It was a smell of new paint. Everything was new. But, you know, these are all things 50 years later. I was 8 years of age when I came here. Dennis, you were probably maybe a year younger than me.
Five, probably.
And they still, to this day, stick in your head, which is fantastic.
One thing that struck me before we done this interview here now this evening, it was the past few hours out there on the road. We were directing traffic in to the fields. A thought that actually came into my head out there earlier on was there was Mother and Fathers coming in, and they would have their kids with them. And it just came into my head that those kids hopefully will be here to celebrate the 100th. That's right. The 100th anniversary. We're here for the 50th.
But their
little kids coming in now, and they will be here and... Yeah. In another 50 years' time, it's
actually a frightening statistic when you think there's 50 years gone since this school opened. Like, and we can all remember when it opened and the excitement and all that. So, any other thing to say, Dennis? Or just would that be probably your memories?
And look, it was just that'd be about it, really. And look, I suppose we made good friends over the years in school, and like I said, just mentioned while ago, still in contact with an awful lot of who I would have been in class with, maybe nearly almost on a daily basis with some of them. So, it's an amazing kind of a circle of life, really, when you think about it.
Okay, Dennis, listen, thanks for that. I suppose, folks, we'll start to wrap up because I'm sure that the listeners are saying we've enough of Kilcrid in the school, but it's a very important occasion and we have just to wrap it up. And I'll just wrap it up now with the special guest we have. Frank, we'll just wrap it up. Have anything else to say and anything to say for the next 50 years and all that?
If the school improved as much in the last 50 years, in the next 50 years as it did in the last, it would be like a university here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I started in the old school just up the road in 1952, and I could be here until tomorrow morning.
Talking about it.
Yeah. You know,
another program, Frank.
It would be another program, another day.
Yeah.
Thank everybody today for, the facility number one. Margaret, our principal, who was renowned throughout the county, I'd say, for the Trojan work. So, people bought houses in Ballymacord and Ladysbridge because of Kilcrittan School.
Very important point, Frank.
Very important point, I think. And that's, I've heard that over and over and again. Yeah. They wanted to move to the area.
Yeah.
And
people are still thinking about moving to the area.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. People that moved away have, hope to come back.
Okay.
And if there was more facilities, more houses, and I see we have more houses being built at the moment, particularly in Ladysbridge, and an amount of one-off houses in the parish, all
because of
their children to wind up in Kilcrittan. Yeah. That's their ambition. Okay. And long may it last.
Okay. Thank you, Frank. Marion, we'll just wrap up again. Any final thing to say before we wrap up?
I suppose just in general, the school always had a very sunny, happy feel to it. And I have such fond memories from this school, more good than bad. And the atmosphere was always lovely. And I always look forward to coming to school. I just feel like it set me up for life, let's hope it continues. Let's hope it improves. And it's a great school as it is now.
Okay.
I can't believe the difference.
Okay, thanks, Marion.
Thanks.
Margaret, we'll wrap it up. And before we do, we'll leave the final word to you. I suppose on behalf of the people of Balmacore, Ladysbridge, we'd just like to say thanks very much to you, your staff, for putting on a fantastic show today and opening our school so that people can come back and reminisce of all the past 50 years. So from everybody that in the parish of Balmacore, Ladysbridge, we'd just like to thank you for that. And just the final word to yourself, Margaret. What would your hopes be going forward for the next 50 years when we're all pushing up daisies and our generations after us? What would your hope be for Kilcrittan School?
Well, I suppose what I would say, for everybody to know that it's not one person that would be responsible, or any one person that would be responsible for the school's success to date. Like somebody mentioned, at the beginning there, that it's a community. And I suppose the one thing that I would always have found is that there is a great community involvement in the school, like amongst the staff. Everybody is willing and has always been very willing to put their shoulder to the wheel. And outside in the community, like some of you remember back in 2006, when we had that huge draw that raised so much money to buy the site for what's now the car park. I mean, none of that would have been achieved without, I think there were 100 volunteers that time, were out selling tickets for 3 months and raised almost $250,000, which was an unbelievable kind of money. That was due to loads of different people helping. So what I would say is I've been very lucky to be part of this journey with so many other good people. It's not by any stretch of the imagination down to me. As I say, I've just been fortunate to be here. I've had wonderful people with me and helping me along the way. And I suppose I've seen so many new people that have come along and are also willing to help. So my hope for the future, really, I absolutely love Kilcreddon and everything to do with it. And, you know, I will always be wishing it the very best of success going forward. And I know that the fantastic people that are here in the school today and are in the parish, that Kilcreddon will continue to grow and flourish into the next 50 years. And it'll be, my prayer for it will be that everybody will continue to be happy.
I suppose, Margaret, just before we wrap up, the principles, can you remember from 72 up to the present day, obviously yourself, can we just give them a mention in the name?
It's actually very unusual, probably, that there have only been three principles. So the first principal was Conaghan. Con was principal of the old school in Kilcreddon. So when the new school opened, he would have been the most senior of the existing principals at the time. The other two principals would have been Spigley, who was in Kilmacdonough, Ballyfrey Road School, and Mr. O'Dowd was in Kilcreddon. So Conaghan then became principal, and I may not be 100% correct, but I think Con was principal until 1978, and Lynch then became principal in 1978, and I came to work in 1980. So, like, I would have learned and been mentored and watched and bring the school through the period from 1978 until 2002. And I think, you know, what people maybe sometimes forget, that in those days, like, there was a big number of children here in the school, and Anne was a teaching principal, as was Con. So, like, I suppose I've been lucky that I've been an admin principal from the start. It must have been extremely difficult to teach a class full-time and also be the principal. And I think there's great credit due to both Con and Anne for the work that they did, you know, over the years. And, I mean, they had the place well set up for me when I became principal.
Okay, so, well, still, Margaret, it was very important to mention those previous principals. Okay, listeners, we've been rambling and reminiscing with the last 40 minutes. And you'll say, how does time fly? But that's how it goes. But it was very important to record this interview and to speak to these past pupils, people that remember from the word go, to get it up and running and to get their memories and their thoughts, especially to Margaret Buzang, who's done fantastic work here down through the years. Here's to the next 50. I don't know who'll be doing the interview in 50 years' time, but I guarantee it won't be me. So anyway, hope you enjoyed our programme. Thanks for listening, and good luck and God bless.